Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are blessed by wonderful musicians, aren't we? What a great gift we have. It's a joy to be able to share worship together. As we share together this morning, we're wrapping up a four-part series thinking about why Methodist. And as you might imagine, the answers to the question, why Methodist, are my four favorite answers. That's the joy of being the preacher. I get to choose what the four top things are, you know? So when I answer the question, why Methodist, for myself, the answer is pretty clear. It's because we have a wonderful witness of faith, that faith is the ground of everything that motivates us. We believe in things that are unseen, things that are yet unknown to us. I'm Methodist because I believe in a witness of love that is not just an academic understanding of the nature of love, but it's love that is in action. It motivates us to meet the needs of people around us and to do remarkable things that otherwise people would say might be impossible. But you know, with God, all things are possible. And I'm Methodist because I believe in evidence of new life. I believe that there is new life that is available for all of us, and that there are certain marks of that new life that give us evidence of what God has been doing in our life journey. And today we're going to think about what it means to be undergirded by the nature of grace in a very unique kind of way. So I'm Methodist because I believe in grace that goes deeper than just the surface understanding of the nature of grace. We're going to read together from the book of Ephesians from chapter 2, and we're going to hear some of the Apostle Paul's words as he begins to teach the people of his day about the nature of grace that can literally bring someone from death to life. And so these are the words from chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, and following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, according to the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show his immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are what he has made us to be, created us in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we'd respond, thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for your word, grateful for the privilege of being able to gather for worship, and ask God that in this day, in these moments together, that you would draw close to us, that you would lead us and teach us, that you would move us forward in our journey, and that you would grant us the blessing of allowing us to know that we are on the right path. We're grateful for that, and we pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, today is a day when we are all invited to proclaim our faith in some unique ways, but some very common ways, some ways that are very typical for us. As we think about what it means to be disciples, and as we make commitments and enter into new covenants that say, we're going to move from where we are and we're going to continue to grow. That's the way life is, isn't it? Things that are healthy and alive and vital, they grow. They begin to bloom and move forward. So we want to think about our lives moving forward. We want to think about our spiritual journey being something that is alive and vital. It's active and it's critical to everything that we are. And so we gather together this day in an act of worship and celebration to recognize the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. That's what calls us to this place. And sometimes we come to recognize the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus by coming to the table. Sometimes we come to the table of the Lord and we share the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and that becomes a means of grace to us, one of the ways that God speaks to us and teaches us and leads us forward. Sometimes we experience the means of grace through the gift of baptism. And so we recognize baptism gifts and we renew our baptismal vows and we remember what God has done and all that God has promised for us. Other times we enter into graceful relationships with one another, and someone will speak a word of grace into our lives and it will become an encouragement for us. But at the heart, we always gather to be able to remember the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That's why we come to worship. That's why we enter into relationship with God. That's why we gather as the body of Christ. That's why we're here today, to remember what God has done for us. But not just to remember what God has done in the past, to remember that God has a design and desire for the future as well. And so as we gather together for this time of worship, we also have to acknowledge that there are times when we come together for worship when we can sometimes be a little bit distracted. You ever been distracted in worship? Has that ever happened to you? Ever happened sometimes? Kind of mind wander, you know, and you think, you know, why is it so hard to get kids in the car in the morning? Why is that so hard, you know? Or you think, you know, is it, did I actually close the door? Did I do that? Am I going to get to the Bronco game on time today? Is that, you know, I mean, we all have priorities and things that we're thinking about, you know, but at the heart of it, we come together this day to be able to think about some of the foundational elements that cause us to be the people of God. And at the heart of it is this reality that God is so good to us, that God is present with us in every aspect of our life journey, and God has a design to bless us. And so every ingredient of life is filled with the presence of God. You remember Psalm 139 reminds us about that reality. The psalmist writes and says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I wander on the wings of the morning or settle on the far sides of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." He goes on to say, "Even if I try to hide in the darkness will be as light to you." There's no place we can go to get away from the grace of God, the love of God that is always seeking to be drawn close to our own lives. The light of Christ is a part of that drawing close to us. So Jesus is described in the same way that the psalmist described the darkness will become as light to you. And in the Gospel of John that we heard just a little bit ago, Jesus is described in this way. It says, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be in it through him, yet the world did not know him. But the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." So the truth of God, the light of Christ, comes to us as a gift of grace. Grace is one of those words that we use a lot in the life of the church. We use it kind of casually and sometimes even carelessly. But grace is an essential element for us to understand. We often say that it is just the unmerited gift of God, something that we cannot earn. It's the love of God that is demonstrated into our lives, nothing we can do to earn it, nothing we can do to stir it up within us. We simply need to be open to it because God is already pouring it out into our life journey at every point in our time. At every moment of our journey, God's grace is moving closer and closer to us. It's just our desire, our willingness to open our lives so that our lives can receive what God is already offering to us. That's the real gift. And in our Methodist movement, we understand the gift of grace in kind of a unique sort of way. So one of the unique things about this question, why Methodists, is about how we understand the nature of grace. John Wesley, our founder from back in the 1700s, Wesley, in founding the Methodist movement, began to think about grace and to be dependent upon the nature of grace. And so he began to study it. And he came to believe that grace, Methodist understanding of grace, was what he called the grand deposit that could be given to the whole Christian community. It was the great gift that could be demonstrated to all of the Christian community around the world. This great gift, this great understanding of the nature of grace came to Wesley in kind of a unique way. He experienced it in his own heart, in his own life, and then he began to tell other people about it. And he began to understand that in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says, "It's by grace you have been saved, and that through faith, not of something that you have done, so that no one can boast." He was saying there was something more than just being in relationship with God. There often were things that were deeper, that were new, that were that it wasn't just on the surface. It was something that could be discovered deeper in the heart of God. And so he began to invite people to be able to search for it. And he began to describe it. And he described it as sanctifying grace. Sanctifying, kind of an interesting word. We think about sanctifying, meaning that something has been set apart, it has been separated so that it can be used for God, it can be used for purposes of holiness, it can be used in the way that it was created, but can be honored as a gift from God. For example, this chalice is a sanctified instrument. It has been set apart for worship. It's been set apart that we might be able to know the grace of God by eating and drinking and coming to the table. And so it's set apart for its intended purpose. We don't use it for a pencil holder. We don't drink milk out of it. It's for a particular purpose. And your life and my life are sanctified and set apart for a particular purpose, a particular purpose that God has in mind for every one of us. And the idea of being sanctified in our own journey means that we have discovered something new about the grace of God. And because we have discovered something new about it, we have assurance that we are on the right track, that we are serving God and living our lives in a way that truly honors God, using our gifts and our experience and all that God has planted in our life to be able to accomplish what God designs for us. And so Wesley began to understand the nature of grace as this sanctifying gift that could give us assurance of the fact that we were moving forward within the context of God. Now, as soon as he started teaching this reality about the nature of grace, he began to discover that there were various controversies that were arriving. Have you noticed that? Sometimes there are controversies in the life of the church. People sometimes disagree with one another. Did you know? Sometimes people read the Bible and they say, no, it means this. And someone says, no, it means that. And the same thing happens in theological circles. And people wrestle back and forth with what is really the truth. And so when it came to this conversation about the nature of sanctification, there were some controversies. And some people said, well, sanctification is a gift from God for sure. It's a gift of God that you can receive at the point of your death when you enter into life everlasting. And at that moment in time, you become sanctified and you enter into the presence of God. And other people said, nope, that's not it at all. Sanctification is about God and God alone. It's not about the human heart. It's about the heart of God. That the purity of God, the beauty of God is the only thing that is sanctified. And sanctification belongs to God and to God alone. And others then began to teach that sanctification was a gift that could be received by the power of the Spirit at the time when someone said yes to Jesus and entered into a relationship with Christ. And so people had different themes about what that really meant. Well, for John Wesley, and I gladly join him in this belief, in this journey. In fact, when I answer in the fullness of that question about why Methodist, this would be the heart of my answer about why Methodist for me. I would say, yes, Methodist, because we have a statement of faith. We have a critical understanding of the nature of faith that allows us to be in relationship with God and allows us to be servants of the Lord. And that service is motivated by the spirit of love that is blessed within us. And that love becomes action that spreads out into the world. And I would say, yes, I'm Methodist because the evidence of new life is present. I've seen it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. experiencing new life in Christ. But at the heart of it, I would say I'm Methodist because I believe that grace is something more than just a surface experience. There's something new to grace, something that continues to unfold about grace. And it's the sanctification of God that says we are the holy people of God who are on track doing what we were created to do, knowing that we are in right relationship with God is one thing, knowing that we are moving forward in a spirit of faith, making a difference in the world, that's another thing. That's a part of sanctifying grace. That we can understand that in our own lives by digging deeper into what we believe about God, how we honor the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and how we intentionally, continually open our lives to understanding more of what the Lord would have in store for us. I believe that faith is like a treasure box. A beautiful box that you might find and it might surprise you. And before you open it, you know there's a mystery that goes along with it because before you open it, you don't know quite what's in there. But you know, you're hoping, you're anticipating that certainly it's not an empty box because I lifted it up and it has some weight to it. I know there's something in there. I shook it around a little bit and I know that there's something, but I don't know quite what it is. And so the mystery remains until you actually open it. And then you open the box and you realize, look at that. It's filled to overflowing with incredible gifts. Incredible gifts. And the best part is this. The more you dig to the bottom, the more beautiful it becomes. That's the way grace is in our lives. Mysterious at first. But when you open it up and you begin to see the reality, it begins to explode in your life. And as you dig deeper, you discover more and more about what God originally created you to be and to do. And when that happens with an individual, when that happens with a community of faith, when that happens with a group of people who are headed in the same direction, serving in accordance with their gifts and living their lives in accordance with God's grace, there's no stopping. No stopping what God would desire to do. I invite you to open the treasure. Dig deep. Because God is moving close to you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the mystery of faith. We thank you for life, for the opportunity to serve. We thank you for who we are, for our heritage, but we thank you especially for the future that you have in store. And we ask, God, that you would unfold that future before us, that some of it might be known to us, but Lord, we pray that the mystery would prevail and we would be people of faith. Because if we only do the things that we already know that we can do, we'll not be living by faith. And so we ask, God, that you would strengthen us for a journey, a remarkable journey, knowing what it means to be people who seek justice and demonstrate compassion and share gifts of mercy with the world, because we know that we are on the right track, living our lives in the presence of God and being the people of God who have been delivered, redeemed, and set apart to serve. We pray, God, that the blessing of your grace would continue to prevail in our lives and that you would continue to open new doors with each day. Grant that it would be so in the name of Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior of all. Amen and amen.